Glory to God. We're going to have a sermon on resting in hope. Resting. The Word of God teaches us that there's a place of rest that we can come to and just lean on Jesus and just let Him take care of us and meet our needs and everything. A lot of times we have a lot of trials, a lot of troubles coming in our life, and it's very hard sometimes to actually overcome those things. But you know, it's not up to us. It's for us to trust in the Lord, trust Him to deliver us. So let us look, and we'll be turning to our Bibles a moment. I'm going to pray over this, but we'll be turning to the book of Psalms when we get there. Okay. So let's bow our heads and let's ask the Lord to bless this word to our hearts today. Father, we just thank You that You're so precious to us, Lord. Oh, how faithful You are through all of our trials and tests, Lord. You're always with us, always watching over us. Oh, our hope is in You. Our hope, our love, everything that we have is totally dependent upon You, Lord God. And we just praise You today. We pray You will bless each person here today. You will bless this word to our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That title, we're going to go back to Psalm 16. So if you want to be looking for that, I'll tell you that that title, Resting in Hope, is what the Lord wants us to do. Now, a lot of times we have a trial and a test, and instead we just fret and fear and get all bothered and just lose victory in our life because we're not really trusting in the Lord. And so in this Psalms, verse 16, chapter 16, and verse 7 is where we're going to read. He says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel, my reins, that means our inner self, also instruct me in the night seasons. So we're in trial, we have in testing in our whole life a lot of times. We can learn to praise the Lord anyway, bless the Lord anyway, and give Him and who He has the counsel. He has the ability to tell us what to do. He's our counselor. And so that's who we want to trust in. And our inner self, it's not just, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to praise the Lord or I'm going to pray now tonight. It's from the inner part where we have Christ in our life. Those of us that know Jesus, He's in there. And we want that spirit, that life to come out. When we pray, it's the Holy Spirit praying through us. It's God praying through us. And He says, also instruct me in the night seasons. These things, the blessing the Lord and giving us counsel and giving ourselves to the Lord to instruct us, causes us to have instruction in the night seasons. And every one of us have night seasons. Those are the trials. Those are the hard things that we go through. We've all lost loved ones at times. We've all had terrible diseases of different kinds at different times, different loved ones, maybe us even. But the Lord is always with us. Then verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I've set the Lord before me. David says that God is sitting at His right hand. What does that mean? He's always there to help us. It's not like, oh, He's way, way, way up there. Maybe He'll hear my cry. He's here with us. His Spirit is in us. We know the Lord is our Savior. And then here He is, His presence. He even sends His angels down here to watch us. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? So he's always there before us. And because He is at my right hand, right here. He is right here this morning. I shall not be moved. You remember the little song that was sung before? I shall not be moved. Okay. Why can we declare that? Because God the Father is right here. He's going to help me. Jesus is going to help me. The Holy Spirit is going to help me get through whatever it is that I have to go through. Praise the Lord. And so going on down now to verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. That word glory, it's in Hebrew in the Old Testament, but it means my innermost self. In my glory, in my innermost self, I feel this rejoicing. I feel this rejoicing. Can you say you do that? Can you say that as you go about your life walking with the Lord and going through trials, which all of us have, can you say, I am rejoicing? It takes a lot of faith to do that. I've gone through many, many things, and I know that God has always been faithful. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But notice that last phrase, my flesh shall rest in hope. And that's what this is about today, is that God has given us a precious hope in our life that we know. If we know Jesus as our Savior, we know we're going to heaven. And it's a preciousness, isn't it? It's a beautiful hope. And we don't have to be, you know, all irritated and thinking, well, how on earth, you know, I don't know if God can save me or not. He wants us to receive salvation and accept it and by faith claim it. And we are born again and we are his children. The Bible says he wrote our name down in the book. So our name is in the book. Hallelujah. And so we rest then on the Lord. We rest in hope. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Back in 1 Kings, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Kings. Back in the Old Testament, we're going to see King Solomon. Of course, he turned out in his life, he didn't walk with God always. But in the first part of the book of King James, that's where I'm going to go. King James, the third chapter, God was giving to him a great blessing that he would have a lot of knowledge and wisdom and that God would bless his life. And so we're going to begin reading with verse 12. God had asked Solomon, and Solomon had asked God, let's look in verse 12. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise. If you read ahead of here, you can read that Solomon was asking the Lord. In verse 9, let's go back there. This is Solomon praying. He says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? There's a huge amount of Israelites at this time, Israeli people. And for one man to be the king and try to go judge everybody and all of that, it was a big job. Notice in verse 11, verse 10, this speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because you have asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself a long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall thy any arise like unto thee. So this was the promise of God. This was a dream, it says in verse 15, that Solomon was asleep when he had this. God showed him that God was going to bless his life. Praise the Lord. And so this is a picture to us of how God works in our hearts and how he gives us this hope. All of us need to ask the Lord to help us, you know. Just like Solomon, he knew he had all this huge company of people to be king over. David, his father, had died, and he had to be the king. And he was seeking the Lord. All of us have big things that are in our lives that really try to hinder us from yielding our lives to the Lord, don't they? Greed? Everybody knows that. We all have them. And the only way we're going to have victory in the Lord is to cry out to the Lord and let him help us. And he's just like he did with Solomon. He says, okay, I'm going to make you wise. I'm going to make you for you'll know what to do in every situation. Praise the name of Jesus. So because he didn't ask for, because he didn't ask for a long life, you just thought he'd say, Lord, help me to live forever. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, Lord, just pour the riches on me. Just let the riches come out everywhere. Well, he was a very rich man. God did bless him. And so God did that because he didn't ask for those things. And he didn't ask for the life of his enemies. He didn't say, Lord, go out and smite all the Philistines. Get them out of here so I won't have to battle them. He had a great opportunity to ask the Lord for whatever God would do for him. But he didn't ask those things. He asked for the Lord to bless him and help give him an understanding heart and ability to judge the people. I think that's a wonderful thing to look at. A lot of the times we ask things from the Lord that have, they're a little bit really not what God wants in our life. They're not the will of God. So we have to learn to give our heart, our life to the Lord and seek after his will in our life. Praise the name of Jesus. Now we're going to go back to Psalms again. Hope you don't mind switching back and forth your Bible. It's a good deal. It really helps us to learn the Bible when we have to go back and forth. So we're back in the chapter now we want. We're going to be looking at chapter 16. And again, we're going to see this talk about resting in hope. See, the Lord doesn't want us to, you know, say, oh yeah, I trust God. But then we act like we don't even know God's there sometimes. He's always watching over us. He's always taking care of us. And so he wants us to realize who he really is. So we're going to begin reading this with verse 8 of chapter 16. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. We read that a while ago, didn't we? Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also rests in hope. Just already read this. Okay. You people are used to these kind of things. So, again, repeating again. What does he say? My heart is glad. The heart is the inner seat of our emotions. Everything that, you know, we have, and our emotions, period. And it means, the word glad means I'm cheerful and I'm joyful. Are you a Christian that are cheerful and joyful, or are you always doubting if God's going to hear your prayer? See, that's, he always hears our prayers. He does. So we want it to be a rejoicing in our heart. The next thing he says there is that my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. And at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And then he says, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory, pardon me, I read that before, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. This is a prophecy of Christ. So anyway, my flesh, as he says up there, shall rest in hope. My flesh shall rest in hope. Praise the Lord. And notice the word hope, because that's what I'm talking about today. Hope means a place of refuge. That's what it means in the original language, Hebrew. A place of refuge, a place of safety, a place of security, a place of assurance, a place of confidence. That's what trust is. A lot of times we may say to another person, you trust in the Lord. Well, I say, well, I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure if I do or not. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And trust is faith. Faith to believe who God really is, and he's going to meet all of our needs. Praise the Lord. In Romans 12:12, we don't have to turn there, it says, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. Rejoice in hope. Hope is a big deal. Hope. The Lord has given us hope. And it's so important for us to realize that we need to realize who we are in Christ and what we have. He's able and he is willing to fulfill everything we have need of. He has said that. So we're going to go to the fifth chapter of Romans now. Go to Romans 5, and we're going to read a few verses here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to start with verse 5 here in this chapter this time. And here we have this little word hope again. Hope. Hope. Not I hope that I'll be saved. I hope maybe I'll be in that number. It's not used that way. This hope is what we have in the Lord. We can rest in this because we know he hears our cry and hears our prayer. Hope in the Old Testament meant a place of refuge, a safety, a security, a safety, an assurance, a confidence. We said that a while ago, so I'm drilling it into you. Remember, if you say you have hope in the Lord, you mean you're trusting him. You're believing in him. You're resting in him. Praise the Lord. So in this verse, and hope makes not ashamed. Do we ever feel a bit ashamed when we have a trial and we don't really trust God? And maybe we're just worried about it all day long. Then suddenly we realize, I didn't pray about that. I didn't seek after God. I didn't really give it to him to ask him to help me. And we're all human, so we do those kind of things, don't we? Praise the Lord. But hope makes us not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know what that word shed means? You probably don't, so I'm going to tell you. It's used in the Greek language, and it means to gush out. Gush out. Have you ever been in an old irrigation ditch where they turned on the big tap and all of a sudden the water goes, it gushes out. And that's what this means, that our hope is we're not ashamed in it because the love of God gushes out to us. It's not a little tiny portion. Oh, this is enough for you. You've got a trial. Here, I love you. That's not that way at all. It gushes out into our life to help us to overcome and walk in the Spirit and yield our lives to God. It's so precious when we realize what God is doing all this time. He's gushing his love out to us. Notice that word abroad, too. It means it's going everywhere. It's going everywhere. He loves the world. That's why he sent his son down here. And it's in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And I know that many of us here know the power of the Holy Ghost. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And notice the last phrase, which he has given unto us. Do you know what given means? It's a gift. It isn't something that you deserved or that you're going to work real hard for. He gives it to us because of faith. We believe and we receive. Isn't that precious? Oh, it's precious. So he says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And that's that we all were. We were totally without strength. We couldn't do anything for ourselves. No one can save themselves. They have to depend upon Christ. Hallelujah. Notice that word hope again there in verse 5. I want to say a little bit more. Here, when you say, I hope for something, in this Greek message, it means to anticipate. And all of us do that. We all hope. We hear our relatives are coming or something. We say, I hope they get here. I hope they do that. But the Lord wants us to have hope in him and in his ways too. And that hope that he gives to us makes us not ashamed, as I said a while ago. It means to anticipate. Usually with pleasure and expectation and confidence. There's a verse in Romans 8:28. Does anybody know what that is? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Yes? Okay. So to have hope means that's a good illustration of what hope means, is we know that all things are going to work together for good for us. God has a motive. He has a good idea in his head, doesn't he? He doesn't just suddenly decide something. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is faithful. The glory that the Lord is going to bring to us is just wonderful. Hallelujah. Hope is so important, as I said. It makes us not ashamed because the love of God is so vast. You know, even when we're the crummiest, even when we're maybe down in the dumps, he's always there. He loves us. His love never ends. That's what the scripture says. It's such a wonderful thing to know. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Notice in verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified by his blood, by the blood of Jesus Christ. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled. That word has a meaning of atonement. Atonement means that blood was put on the doorpost, like in Moses' day when they were in Egypt. God told him, put the blood on the doorpost. That was atonement that was being made. Praise the Lord. And we shall be saved by his life, is what the scripture says there. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We have received the atonement. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus Christ died for us. Oh, thank you, Lord. We couldn't do it. We could not be good enough. And so the Lord Jesus came and died for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I have a little thing I want to read to you. I wrote it down out of another translation. This is the Amplified. If you want to turn to Philippians 4:7, and you can see that there, what I'm talking about. But this writing is, and a lot of people don't like to hear another translation, but this was so meaningful to me in this seventh, where it says in the seventh verse of chapter 4, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. And this is how it's translated in that Amplified version. That tranquil state of a soul assured of salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with this earthly lot of whatsoever sort that it is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison, it's like a big fort, and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love that. Peace. And I wrote just in one of my notes, peace is a spirit production. I'm talking about Holy Spirit there. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And when we let him be in our life and guide our lives, it produces peace. Peace. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I try to watch that clock vector so I don't run over. But I want you to turn with me now to the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah, I did write this Lamentations also. And so if you don't get there, just listen, okay? In the verse 18 of chapter 3 of Lamentations, Jeremiah speaks of the strength of the Lord and the hope of the Lord. Verse 18. This is Jeremiah speaking. God had spoken to him a bunch of things above this, which would be fine for you to read at home. But he says, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. It's perished from the Lord, he says. My strength and my hope is perished. It means he thought that this time in his life, when he was going through some kind of trial, that word means it's failed and destroyed. Have you ever felt like that? Where is the Lord? He hasn't helped me. I'm going through this awful thing. Where is he? See, Jeremiah says this, that he felt like that his strength, his hope was perished. We're going to go on down now to verse 21 and see the difference. You can read those verses. Remember in mine affliction, my misery, and the wormwood of the gall and my soul. I'll just read them for you. Hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. See, God's allowed all this stuff to happen, and here I am, and I've got this problem. And then in verse 21, this I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. You ever feel like that? Go through something, and you maybe recount something in your life, and you feel like, well, Lord, why on earth would you allow that? But then you come to this point, oh, I'm thinking about this, but God has revealed to me that I have hope. I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His compassions, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. His love for us, it never fails. It's always there. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I love words, you know. I like to see what they mean. And that word new there means fresh. God's mercy every morning, his faithfulness to every morning is fresh to me. It's not like the old thing that he did for me when I was 16. It's right now, something I need right now. And he's made that ability, that power that he brought. Notice verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. See, that's your inner part. That's what God wants. He wants that inner part. And as we give our inner soul and our inward part to him and our mind, he's going to bless us outwardly also. Glory to God. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope, here we have the word hope again, and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Just, if you want to have hope in the Lord and be waiting on the Lord for things, then just wait, just be quiet. We have a habit, you know, all of us do, just keep talking to God. Where are you, God? You know, are you good? Are you hearing me up there? That's kind of our attitude. But we have to come to the place where we're humble and we're contrite before him when we have a big need. I've had big needs in my life, and if I hadn't come and really fallen on my knees and sought the Lord, I probably wouldn't be here today. But God, and notice that in verse 22 where he says, because his compassions. You know what that means? It means mercy, his pity, his tender love from inside of his heart. It's inside of God's heart that he issues that to us when we have such a need. We need this hope in our lives. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. In verse 24, it says, the Lord is my portion. That word means allotment. You know what an allotment is? It's somebody, usually an authority, gives you an allotment. They give you some money you're going to get monthly or something like that. You call it an allotment. But in the original, that word means to inherit, an inheritance. God has given us an inheritance. And he says, because of that, I will hope in him. You have an inheritance? Praise the Lord. You do. You have it in the Lord. Whether you ever have anything in the natural or not, you've got it in the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to read one more scripture. We're going to go to Romans 8 in the New Testament. Romans 8. Of course, Romans 8 is one of our popular ones. We really like that chapter. It's got so much stuff in it. Really, really good. We're going to begin reading with verse 18. See just again what the Lord is doing for us constantly. You know, he's always watching over us. He's not off the job sometimes. And that's how we think sometimes. We might pray and we say, Lord, are you hearing me? He is. Of course he is. So here we're going to go to verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Oh, isn't that beautiful? That word wait means to eagerly wait, to be expecting it. Is that how you feel about God? That you're expecting Jesus to come back again? You're expecting him to take care of your needs? You have to have faith, don't you? So we need to have that expectation. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity. We're just little creatures. We're subject to vanity, which just means emptiness. We just have to depend on God, not willingly, but by reason of him which has subjected the same in hope. The Lord allowed it, but he was going to give us hope. He was going to deliver us. He was going to show us the way, and he's given us power. Isn't that something? We can all day long say, I can't do it. I can't overcome. I don't have any strength. That's right. I don't either. I don't have any strength of my own. But I know that God is on my side. I know he is faithful. He has helped me through all kinds of stuff, and he's always been there. And he will do the very same for you. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go down now to verse, let's go on down to verse 24, because we want to get that one. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he not hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We get so impatient, don't we? Lord, help me. Then it didn't happen that day, and we think, oh, where's the Lord? He didn't hear my cry. He did. Praise the Lord. But hope is so important to us in our lives, to really believe God, not just say, oh, I hope so. You know, that's, we have that habit. When we don't really think it's going to happen, and someone tells us to do something, we say, well, I hope it'll turn out like that. That's our fleshly side of us. We don't really have confidence. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Version to you, this verse 24. For in this hope we are saved by faith. But hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. When you get your way, you know, when we were little kids and we used to say, I want that, our mom said, no, you can't have that. I want something, and pretty soon mama gives it to us or something. We see it, and we think, oh, yeah, I got it. I got it. That isn't what hope is. It's not just hoping for something and getting mad if you don't get it, right? For who hopes for what he already has seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait eagerly for it with patience and composure. And that is really the way most of our trials are. I can tell you there. Why? Why would God ever just make us hope, make us wait? Make us wait for something when we seem like we've got a lot of faith and we're just praying and seeking the Lord and it just doesn't happen that way. Because he's working something more eternal inside of us and making us patient. Like Christ. Christ is so patient. God is so patient. And he's working that in us. And it takes trials. What does it say? Tribulation worketh patience. Scripture. Tribulation works patience. We don't like that, but that's the way it is. And we have one more verse, and then we're going to stop. Let's go to Titus, the second chapter. What I hope today that my message has done is to help all of us just keep on, like the old timers say, keep on keeping on. Just keep on trusting, keep on praying, keep on waiting on the Lord. He's faithful and he's going to help us. And it just sometimes just takes a little time. But in this verse, it's a precious type of hope. It's in verse 13 of chapter 2 of Titus. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, which is sin, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. And we think, peculiar? Do I want to be a peculiar person? It means special and particular in the Greek is what it means. I don't know why they translated it peculiar, because we always think of peculiar people being peculiar people, don't we? But we are not decreed that we're going to be peculiar people. We're going to be special people for the Lord. Zealous, that means to be enthusiastic of good works. So praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is going to come again. Oh, hallelujah. Look up, look up. Look up. Don't look at the trials and the tests and the things that are bad. That's of the devil, and he will try to defeat you by that. But look up. Look up to him. Praise the Lord. These are some of my notes. How? How? I wrote it twice with a question mark. How do we look up? We lean on the Lord. Like the old song, leaning, leaning, leaning on the heart of the life of Jesus, leaning on the Lord Jesus. A true praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lean hard on the Lord. Lean hard on him, and he will get us through all the tests and trials that we ever have to go through. He has me. Praise the Lord. And I know he does for you too.